If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Everyone, I'm Brenda Ward.
And I'm Barbara Buffet.
And we are Women Patriots here on ConservativeNationRadio.org. The number to call in is 718-305-7176. We have some great guests tonight. Joining us tonight will be author and conservative activist Ben Shapiro and also Monica Boyer, who is also an author of Not On My Watch and a conservative activist in Indiana. So we have two great guests coming up along with a free book giveaway. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and start here tonight a little bit with my rant about the establishment. Now, back when the primaries were first beginning, we were all rooting for different candidates, and a lot of us were rooting for Herman Cain. And we seemed to notice that there was a bias, even on Fox News and the media, for Mitt Romney, and that everybody said that he was the only one who could beat Obama. And we kept saying, no, we don't think he can. And we were very concerned about the establishment candidate. Well, now you know what we're talking about when we say the establishment. That is the money behind the man, as Karl Rove and his cronies have decided that they're going to pick the conservative candidates for the people, because we as people apparently are too stupid to pick our own. And this is very frustrating to me, because it takes away from the people the right to vote for whom we choose. When you've got the media telling people all across the country, people were scared. I was calling people, and they were so worried that Rick Santorum couldn't beat Obama. Yet when the polls in the states that mattered, like Florida and Ohio, were showing that Rick was beating Barack Obama when Mitt was not. And yet the mainstream media in Fox News and the establishment Republicans were saying Mitt Romney was the only one that could win. And this is just further proof that we, the people, are on to their game. Okay, Karl Rove has come out openly now. We all knew Karl Rove was in the wash pan for Mitt Romney, along with all his money and his crony money. But now we have that proof. And what I say is, bring it on. Because it's not the money that matters. It's we the people. It's we the grassroots. Look what we did for Rick Santorum, who had no money and had no backers. He won 11 states. 11 states. And he would have won more if we could have coalesced behind one candidate as conservatives. And that's what we need to do. We need to figure out who we want to field as a candidate among all the groups of the conservative wing of the party. We need to incorporate what is non-negotiable. And I'm going to tell you for the right-wing Christians, and I don't say that disrespectfully, because people call me that. I'm a right-wing nut. Abortion is non-negotiable. So that has to be in the candidate, has to be pro-life. And we all want less government. So that's a given. I mean, if you're libertarian, if you're just moderate Republican, if you're a conservative Republican, we all want less government. We want the money out of Washington. We want it sent back to the state level so that we don't have this crony capitalism going on and we don't have the waste that we see going on in Washington and this Washington culture, which, again, is the establishment. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and bring Barb on to see what she has to say, and we'll go from there. Barbara? And she's...
Hello, everybody.
There you are.
Money talks, money talks, and money talks. But I definitely agree with you. We have to be the ones to pick the candidate. And
absolutely.
I'm just so tired of the bullying, really, that goes on. Because that's exactly what goes on within even our own party. So,
oh, absolutely.
You know, there's a whole new approach that I heard last night, and it's Frederick Douglass approach, and that is actually Kate Carl has put that together, and it's his own little, movement right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have to look more. I heard him talk last night on a different show, and Kate Carl was explaining all that's in there and how we can reestablish ourselves as individuals and get the labels off of us.
Oh, absolutely, because that's part of the problem with the media.
Well, and it's not just, it is the media. And the media, everybody listens to the media,
yes.
to the media.
Yes.
They say that, you know, oh, my God, you're Republican. You must be racist.
Right.
Well, I'm not.
No, we're not.
I'm racist. And you're not, you know, and most people that I know, you know, I'm sure there's a few in there, but it's just really a new approach, and I'm looking forward to using it. And I don't actually have the website, so if somebody in the chat room has the website, if you could go ahead and put it in the chat room so people can see it, Underground Dave, hard drive.
Okay, yeah, there's a lot of groups that are out there, Barbara, doing this, but what we're going to have to do at some point is we're going to have to all come together. And what's going to be great with our second guest tonight, Monica Boyer, she is actually working as an activist on the state level, which is where we all need to go. Michael, our brother Michael, and Ted Cruz, oh, I love Ted Cruz, and we can owe his victory not to the money, but to the organization on the ground in Texas. Okay, and Michael was a big part of that, and they worked hard as individuals to get him elected, and that's what we have to do, and we're going to have to work even harder because we're going to come up against the big money machine.
Right.
And it's just going to make our job just a tad more difficult, but we can still do it because I think there's a lot more people involved now than there were prior.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, I'm seeing it all over the internet, you know, and I'm meeting people in my own hometown that I didn't know about that now I do through places like Facebook and Twitter and now the Tea Party community, which is starting up as a place in case Facebook ever decides to start censoring us.
Well, they are censoring it because people are getting kicked off. They're getting suspended because of things that they write. And when I read things and I'm like, well, they got suspended for that. I mean, that's so ridiculous. But it's mostly Obama haters that
yeah.
get it. But if everybody will notice in the chat room, in Audible Noise did put Frederick Douglass with two S's, Republican.com. This way, it's a new, like I was saying earlier, it's a new approach to people that is hopefully people. Melissa actually was saying, and somebody else last night was saying that it works.
Okay.
Because
well.
there is a guide in that website. So if
okay,
but
I'm
going to
bring Michael live because he just messaged me that he can elaborate a little bit on this Frederick Douglass for us.
Perfect.
So let me go ahead and bring him on, and then
okay,
when,
thank you, Michael.
And then we'll take a quick break after that.
Awesome.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, ladies, great job. I'm really excited
Thanks.
About the show. I'm driving, heading to get my kids, and tuned in and listen to Barbara start to talk about it. I thought, you know, I could jump in here real quick and elaborate on that conversation with Kay Carl last night. And, you know, Barbara, I appreciate what you were trying to do. We can certainly say it. I have a side project with my mentor that brought me into the radio business. His name is Stephen Williams. He has Underground Hard Drive. And on Monday nights, after our show, Radio Free Europe with Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, I do a side project called Conservatives Coast to Coast. And last night we had Kay Carl Smith on, who is the president of the Frederick Douglass Republicans Movement, not to be confused with Frederick Douglass Society or Frederick Douglass Foundation, which both are great organizations in and of themselves. What Kay Carl is advocating, and you're absolutely right, Barbara, he has a book, the soft cover edition's $20. It's a guide, and there's a follow-up worksheet, I guess you could say, that accompanies it. If you buy the book, you'll get the guide to go with it for free. And what it does is it basically teaches us how to communicate. My question to Kay Carl last night was, as a white conservative, I always run up against a couple of things. Anytime I say Tea Party or I'm a conservative or I'm a Republican, anybody that I'm listening to that is in one of the quote-unquote minority groups, be they Black American, Latino American, a woman's group, whatever the case may be, automatically if you say Tea Party, they're going to tune you out. And they're going to tune you out because the leftist propaganda machine has made those words their code words. They're code words that mean to the left that we're racists. In fact, nothing could be further from the truth. And just real quickly, I'm looking at some notes while I'm trying to drive here. The question you need to ask yourself is, do you have a respect for the Constitution? Do you believe in fiscal responsibility? Do you believe in limited government? And do you believe in, or do you have a respect for life? If the answer to those four questions are yes, then you're a Frederick Douglass Republican. What Carl is advocating, what Kay Carl is advocating is that rather than say, when you are talking to a Black American or a Latino American and you're trying to illustrate your position, rather than say I'm a Tea Party conservative or I'm a conservative Republican or whatever, when asked the question, are you a conservative? You say I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. Because by saying that you're a Frederick Douglass Republican, especially if you're a white person, you immediately take race off the table. You can't be called a racist. So this methodology, the Frederick Douglass methodology, is a methodology that all of us need to embrace, and we need to learn how to communicate. It's very, very important. You know, we all preach to the choir. Most anybody that listens to our network, you ladies, a fabulous show, or Mind and Being show, or Hig and Guys, or either one of the Chris's or Dukes, when they listen to us, we're generally preaching to the choir. We're not advancing the ball, though. In order to advance the ball, we've got to communicate to people that are not in our choir. And the only way we're going to do that and grab their attention so that we can get past that first sentence is not to say that we're a Tea Party, not to say we're a conservative, not to say that we're a Republican. Say I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. Go through this study guide. Learn how to communicate. Learn how to have dialogue with people that have been taught and bred to be against everything we stand for, because chances are they probably feel the same way as we do. They probably believe in the four principles that Frederick Douglass did, which is limited government, respect for life, fiscal responsibility, and personal responsibility. So that's it in a nutshell. If I can't do it right now, if someone wants to drop a link, maybe Melissa can do it. Our sister Melissa can drop a link from last night's show in the chat room. You've got to listen to Kim Paul Smith. I can't. It's not about listening to me or the other hosts or our hosts here on our great shows. The message is in what Kay Carl had to say last night, and we need to embrace it as a movement. So
well,
with
thank
that,
you.
Lady, thank you very much. Have a great show. You'll park me out. I'm dying to hear.
We will do that, Michael, and thank you very much for calling in and clarifying that. And the links have been dropped in the chat room if anybody wants to pick those up and go listen. The number here is 718-305-7176. We do have Ben Shapiro, who's going to be joining us shortly. We want you to join our own Warrior Catholic, Chris Ricketts, on conservativenationradio.org every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. Chris isn't afraid to wave the banner of Christianity in a world becoming hostile to biblical principles. Actually, former Marines aren't afraid of anything, are they? Join Chris to talk about... I don't know. What about spiders? We'll have to ask him. Anyway, join Chris to talk about Christianity, the Holy Bible, and God's perpetual plan for mankind's salvation. And ask him about his time in the Commandant Zone Marine Drum and Bugle Corps in Washington, D.C. That's the Warrior Catholic Show with Chris Ricketts, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central on conservativenationradio.org. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to be associated with the most effective identity, security, and credit monitoring service there is, LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 a year, there's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock, go to ConservativeNationRadio.org. Click on the LifeLock banner, that's conservativenationradio.org, and click on the LifeLock banner.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back. You're listening to Welcome Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. The number to call is 718-305-7176. We will be joined shortly by Ben Shapiro, author of his newest book is Bullies. He's authored many books, and I'm really excited to talk to him because he's kind of really opened my eyes. But another topic I kind of wanted to discuss, because if you haven't made that phone call yet to the Boy Scouts of America, you need to do that. They're considering allowing gays into the ranks. Now, I have a problem with this. I have been both a Girl Scout leader. I've been a Boy Scout leader for 20 years, okay? Obviously, I'm a woman. Been a Boy Scout leader for 20 years as my sons were both in the Scouts. We go to some pretty remote locations. We go with a group of boys, and we go to camps where boys go different ways at different times, so you cannot be supervising them 100% of the time. And yes, we have policies. The Boy Scouts of America have a very strict policy as far as too deep leadership. But, you know, if there's a person intent on not obeying those policies, there is ample opportunity for them to get away with things that is harmful to the children. And not just that. When we go camping, the boys share a tent. So if we're openly allowing gays into the Boy Scouts, then you're going to possibly end up with a gay boy in a tent with a straight boy, which can also lead to abuse if situations, depending on the child themselves. So from my personal experience, I have a major issue with the Boy Scouts changing this policy. It's more concerned with the safety of the children. And they even have incidences where children were abused by former leaders. Because where do you think child abusers are going to go? They're going to go where the children are. And I'm not saying that every gay person is a child abuser. Do not misread me, okay? That is not what I'm saying. But I'm just saying it gives a temptation there. Because the boys that we go out with or anywhere, depends on if you're in Cub Scouts. Cub Scouts goes to age 10. Boy Scouts goes from age 10 to 18. So you could even have an 18-year-old with a 10-year-old. Okay, these are the situations that the Scouts are in every week, monthly, for a week in the summer. We do these campouts all the time. And it is just not a good policy. It is just not good form. And I see no way, yes, I understand this arose because the case of the mother who was actually gay. However, unfortunately, you can't say, okay, gay women can be in the Boy Scouts, but gay men can't. You see what I'm saying? You can't make that separation. So it has to stay as a standard ban. And Barbara, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that or not, but that's just, I have done this for a lot of years, and I just think it opens up a whole can of worms where we don't want to go and where I would not want my children exposed.
Yeah, and, you know, my thought is it just really leaves them wide open. It gives opportunity, you know,
It
leaves the children open. It doesn't protect the children.
Exactly.
Because there have been many incidences. And then, you know, look at the Michael Jackson thing. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. But he was, you know, this famous guy, and all the kids were going there, and they were all in his room, you know, and you think your child's safe, and evidently they were not.
Right, and this is prime opportunity. I'm telling you, I went to the Boundary Waters with my boys, okay? And if anybody's been there, the Boundary Waters are the waters that border Canada and Minnesota. And you have to have a special permit to get in there. There's no houses. There's no cell phone service. It's basically you, your canoe. You carry your food and your necessities on your back. And I went there with the boys. Of course, there were other adults with me. I was the only woman. But we had plenty of adults. But these are the kind of situations where you go, we're going into this remote wilderness with a group of boys that, you know, may not necessarily be our own. You know, my sons were there and I was there with them. But not all parents go with their kids. These are the kind of opportunities that you would be providing to somebody who was bent on mischief.
Right.
So, and we do have a caller. Shall we see who that is?
Yes, we shall. Oh, I'm sorry. I was
651.
My niece just had a baby, and I got the updated information. Sorry.
Oh, that's exciting news. So 651.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Hi. Teresa. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Teresa.
Good.
We're good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. You know, I have to chime in on the this topic because. You know, some of my background includes, studying child psychology and especially the abused populations in that group. And these are the types of kids, you know, and not just like you said before, you know, we're not singling out every single, and I'm going to use the word homosexual because that's what they are. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not going to use these co-opted English words like gay and, you know, all this other stuff. You know, they're homosexuals. And quite a, you know, few years ago that was, you know, put in the diagnostic manual as, you know, a disorder. And 9 times out of 10, every time you see these people in a clinical setting, once they do make it to therapy, they've got some troubled past, guarantee you. And it you know, I really am not a believer that there's some kind of flaw in humanity where, you know, there's this natural tendency to want, you know, the same sex and there's an attraction to it. It makes no sense in the terms of natural law. Not, you know, saying, bringing it out of the religious realm of it, it makes no sense naturally for the, you know, for the propagation of, you know, the next generation. It will never happen that way. So I have a huge problem with this normalizing of, you know, homosexual behaviors and, you know, making it into, you know, like a subculture in this world where it's okay for them to raise children. When are people going to finally start speaking up for the children in these situations? That's, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, it's like everybody is getting railroaded into being accepting of, what, 0.01% of the population, because it really isn't as high as the mainstream media wants you to think it is. And it's who always takes the hit? It's the children.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, yeah.
Because
my
even in
moms,
these situations.
My two dads, you know, they have the TV shows on it. So you're right. They're trying to make it socially acceptable, and it's really not.
Yeah. And they're opening their children up to ridicule, whether they like it or not, if they decide to adopt, or one of them, if it's two women, decides to get pregnant, because
right.
they are different. And children already have enough issues if they come from a two-parent home. But even the single-family home, those children have a separate set of issues.
Please.
Go ahead. Yeah. It's just not good. It's not good for the child's health. And they can try all they want to with their anti-bullying and, oh, we're, you know, and try to push this message. But it's in the nature of children to kind of pick, you know. My kids did it all the time.
Right.
That is in a child's nature. Now, some take it to an extreme, you know, where we have really, truly bullies. But again, that child has issues.
Right.
And you need to try to find out what those are. But instead of thinking of the child, they're thinking of themselves. But we want children.
Right. And I mean, yeah, the only thing that makes it possible for these couples, same-sex couples, to have children is some sort of intervention of medicine or, you know, having some surrogate. I mean, they can't do it on their own. So doesn't that mean that there is something inherently wrong with that situation? And I know they bring in the infertility of couples, you know, heterosexual couples, but that, it's not
that's
even...
That's not the norm. That's the abnormal.
You know, it's apples and oranges. The greater majority of people can have children, you know, in heterosexual couples and so forth. But it's just all of this normalization of this deviation that's making me absolutely crazy. And the Boy Scouts are the prime example of where, you know, it's like, let's infiltrate that next.
Right. And I sure hope they don't. I think the vote's coming up. So if anybody's out there listening, make sure you get a call out to your local Scouts or get online and message them, because it is a problem. And I've been there. It's just scary to me that they would think about even allowing this to happen. And the little boys that we're going to put at risk.
Well, you know, and then let's take a look at, you know, of course, everything they'll always bring it up with, you know, the pedophiles being homosexuals and so forth, and pedophilia and, you know, homosexuality and all this other stuff. And then they kind of, you know, bring in priests. Well, let's just say, let's have a daycare camp with a priest who's a homosexual and call it okay. People would be outraged.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
So where's the difference?
There isn't really.
Know?
There isn't any. So,
I don't know.
Okay. And we're coming up. Well, thank you, Teresa, for calling in on that, because it's always good to get others' opinions from different angles,
all right,
you know, too. So thank you very much.
You're
We're going to take a quick break, and then we have a very special guest. So, Teresa, you want to stay on the line? Nope, she's dropping, so we're good.
She already hung up.
We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back.
This Valentine's Day, give your special someone a beautiful Swarovski crystal heart made by women who have survived war in South Sudan. These stunning items are available in small, medium, and large sizes, and come in crystal, red, pink, and other beautiful colors. And the best part, they're yours starting at just $25 plus shipping. To order yours today, go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop. Again, that's goatsfortheoldgoat.com and click on shop.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Real women. Real ladies with real smarts. You're listening to Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org. We do conservatism right.
Okay, guys, well, we are going to call our special guest here. Let's see what's happening. Hello?
Wait, he's on.
Huh?
Wait a minute. He's off.
Did I lose him? Okay.
No, there he is. Ben.
You
Hello?
I don't see him. Let me see. We'll try this again.
I see his name in there, Ben. Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm having, nope, it's not. Well, if you hold tight, guys, we are trying to call Ben Shapiro as we speak. And I'm not getting a phone ring.
He's on the yellow.
Hello?
Ben? Hello?
Mine says it's Uh-oh. Dialing, but I'm not getting any. Hello? Okay, well, I'll keep trying to dial this number here. So hang on, hang with us just for a minute, folks, because we are going to be having Ben Shapiro with us. So just give me a minute, and we'll see if we can't make this thing work. Okay. Says it's dialing, Barbara, but I'm not getting any response. Oh, wait a minute there. Hello?
Hello?
Hi, is this Ben?
It is.
Hi, Ben. This is Brenda Ward.
And this is Barbara.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome to our show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Oh, yes, we're very excited. We had a few technical difficulties trying to dial you there for a minute, so but thank you so much for joining us.
No problem. Well,
I know. Go ahead, Barbara. I'm going to let you take the first question here because I know you're excited.
I really am because, you know, in reading your book, I've actually learned more than I thought I knew, so thank you for that. And I saw you around with Pierce Morgan, and that was the bomb. That was
thank
the best.
You so much.
Oh, no, thank you. That little book, smack him upside the head with it. Because that's funny, because I carry around a little, that little book, too, just in case I had to get somebody.
Well, it provides a good reminder to folks who don't really seem to care too much about it.
I know, right? And there are a lot of them. But why don't you tell us a little bit about your book, if you don't mind, to tell our listeners. And then I'll chime in and ask some questions, unless Brenda had something first.
No, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, the premise of Bullies is pretty simple. The left is interested only and entirely in destroying any semblance of a public policy debate. They don't want to have a debate with us. All they want to do is call us names. They want to call us racist, sexist, bigot, homophobes who don't care about children, and hate the poor. That's who we are. There's a moral difference, according to the left, between us and them. We are morally inferior. We're nasty human beings. They're good human beings. you see this in every argument that they've made over the last few years. Every argument that they've made has been predicated not on the idea that we have legitimate policy differences about how to reach the best solutions for Americans, but on the idea that we are morally deficient in some way and they are morally glorious. And that's a really despicable point of view, and it results in the death of deliberative democracy as we know it.
Wow. Yeah, and I was actually reading your other book, the one about Hollywood, and let me just say I'm really disappointed in some of my favorite shows now that I used to watch as a kid. How they slowly, you know, the mindset and what the intent was behind the writing of some of those shows was very mind-opening for me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when it comes to the TV world, it's very obvious for anybody who's really watching that there's an agenda to the shows. For years, they've been claiming that there is no agenda. They've just been catering to the market. When I did primetime propaganda, I really got behind the curtain. They assumed that I was a liberal because when I requested an interview, I said, my name is Ben Shapiro. I went to Harvard Law School. I'm from Los Angeles, and I'm writing this book on Hollywood. And they figured, okay, Jew from Harvard Law, lives in L.A., for sure a liberal. And so they talked to me on the record, they talked to me on tape, and they admitted, sure, of course we put our politics in our shows. How could we not? Why wouldn't we? Isn't our obligation to use this medium to forward our values in politics? Well, you know, that's precisely the opposite of what they've been saying for years, but it's obvious that they've had an agenda, and it's obvious that they've been able to achieve large swaths of that agenda by indoctrinating the American public through narrative.
Cool. And yeah. So that's how I was wondering how you got them to open up. I was like, well, does he know all these people? Why are they telling him these things? But it was quite eye-opening. Even, you know, Bewitched is one of my favorite shows. And, you know, that was one you touched about a little bit in your book there. So,
yeah, I mean, all of these shows are built on certain basic kind of liberal premises. And then when you watch Bewitched, it's very clear that the guy is supposed to be an idiot and she's supposed to be, you know, a much more competent human being, which was the point of the show. I mean, it was supposed to be this kind of feminine, this kind of soft feminist line that men are morons and women are ultra competent. And that's the thesis of the show. So they do it even in things as simple as that. You know, women can do tons of things, men can't do anything. That's a theme that's been echoed on TV for the past several decades. Everybody from, you know, Marge Simpson and Homer Simpson to the father to Archie Bunker in All in the Family or Al Bundy. Fathers are seen largely as morons, and mothers are seen as kind of the saving grace in all families. Well, you know, in my family, that's not the way it was. Both of my parents are ultra competent. I hope that when I have children, both my wife and I are ultra competent, and I'd be disappointed if we're not. But Hollywood has pushed this notion that men are essentially idiots, and if they're around and if they're gone, then they're not really necessary.
And that's really amazing because it's like two different worlds, you know, like the Los Angeles world. I'm in the Midwest in Indiana, and you know, it's like a totally different world, I think, to the liberals that live on the coast. So,
well, they
I'm in BFE, North Carolina.
It's the lives they know. They know the bubble that they live in. We all know the bubble that we live in. The difference is that our bubble is not the same as their bubble, and they make no attempt to kind of reach out to folks who don't live like they do. So, from where they sit, you know, it's single motherhood isn't a problem. Well, single motherhood is not a huge problem on, you know, the Upper West Side, in the rich areas of New York. It's not really a huge problem in Beverly Hills. It's a problem for the kids who end up very screwed up. But overall, you're talking about people who are very, very wealthy, live off Sunset Boulevard, and for the most part actually get married and stay married. The truth is that the thing about liberals that they don't like to admit to themselves is that the very wealthy liberals very often live their lives like conservatives. They actually get married, have kids, save their money, don't waste it, and then they preach precisely the opposite.
Wow.
Right.
For the greater good.
Yeah. Tolerance and diversity dictate it. Tolerance and diversity dictate that we blow up all moral standards as fast and as soon as humanly possible.
But, you know, along that line, then, when I was reading the book, I kept jotting down notes. And what we did as a society years ago is we allowed a lot of these actions to take place. So we didn't hurt somebody's feelings. Like, you know, as with Christmas, you can't say Merry Christmas, or you can't have a Christmas tree anymore. It's got to be a holiday tree.
Right. Well, I mean, you can see it on TV. You know, I don't know if you guys watch Downton Abbey, which is a really great show on PBS. Downton Abbey, really well-made show. There's a character on the show who's a woman who was a single mother, and she's kind of cast out into the street. She's forced to become a prostitute, and then finally she gives up her child for adoption, which is very heartbreaking, and then she becomes a maid, and people are treating her badly because she used to be a prostitute. Well, you know, the truth is that obviously we should have sympathy for folks like that. Obviously we should do our best to help folks like that. But the kind of thematic of the show was, boy, if she just didn't live in such a benighted time, she would have been able to have this kid out of wedlock. She would have been able to keep the kid. The state would have cared for both of them. She wouldn't have had to become a prostitute. And everybody would have treated her as though her choices were decent.
Right.
The other side of the coin is never seen on the part of the left. They don't understand. Well, you know, maybe if you don't want to incentivize people to make bad choices, you ought to have bad consequences for bad choices.
Right, right. And also in your book, being in North Carolina, you know, the Crystal Mangum ordeal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the Duke Lacrosse case, sure.
Right, right. Reverend Sharpton came to her rescue and gave this woman an education. And then now she's in jail for murder. She had her other children taken away. Now, this is somebody who was given a chance. And you just look at her history and say, okay, let's try. Now, knowing that she lied in this case and destroyed these guys' lives, for starters, okay, you're going to give her a hand and help her out a little bit. Well, while she was still in school, she was locked up for attempted murder because she burned the house down or her apartment with her boyfriend in it. Okay, and then this other boyfriend, now she's in jail.
Unfortunately,
so,
we live in a society where consequences have become passe, because if you have to live with the consequences of your actions, then that's unfair. It's cosmically unfair, because if God were nice, then he would have made it that there were no consequences for our actions. If we made bad decisions, then a forgiving world would allow everything to go away. And so it's the job of government, and it's the job of kind-hearted liberals to save people from the consequences of their own decisions. Now, of course, liberals ignore the fact that when you save people from the consequences of their own decisions, people don't realize that they're bad decisions. I mean, the way that we learn in this world from the time that we're children not to put our hand on the stove is that it's actually hot on the stove. But if every time a child put his hand on the stove, it turned out that the stove was cool, but you still got burned. There was still significant damage. You burned off your fingers every time you touched the stove. It just didn't hurt. The pain mechanism is what is supposed to drive you not to do stupid things. When you take away the pain mechanism, it still hurts you. You still end up a damaged human being. You still end up living a less fulfilling life. You just don't feel it.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
And the way I grew up, too, was if things were handed to me, it's not appreciated as much as if you work for them. So if you're sitting home collecting an unemployment check or a welfare check and food stamps, that what are you going to take for granted instead of going out being proud and having some self-esteem and saying, oh, I went and bought this shirt. You know, so what? It was $3, but I went out and bought it, you know, for myself. Instead, there are people using food stamps buying steaks. I don't eat steak. But,
yeah, exactly.
But,
well, this is, you know, it's. I think most of the people who are on food stamps, you know, are not eating steak, but I do think that they take the fact that this is someone else's money less seriously than they ought. And look, human beings are greedy. God knows this. I mean, and the founders knew this. Human beings are inherently greedy. Rich, poor, doesn't matter. Everybody's greedy. Everybody's self-interested. When you give people the power to vote themselves things, then of course they're going to use that to satiate their greed. I mean, that's only natural. That's kind of how people act. This is why the founder said that in the absence of a moral and religious people, democracy, republicanism, it was not going to work, because bottom line is that unless you hold yourself to the standard of God, which is you don't get to steal things from other people, of course you're going to vote yourself other things, especially when you can then claim to yourself that this is what government does. All government is there for is redistributive purposes, as President Obama likes to put it.
Absolutely. Well, hey, real quickly here, let's just take a quick break and we'll be back. And if you have a question for Ben, the number is 718-305-7176. Give us a call.
Go, Caleb! Come on, hit a homer, Jesse!
Let's go, guys!
Hey, did you guys know that kids who play sports earn more money when they grow up?
Of course. I knew that.
Hey, did you guys know that kids who read books have a bigger vocabulary?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Wow, jinx. Did you guys know that friendly children have more friends?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's true. I knew that. Did you guys know that winter babies are better at music?
Everyone knows that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty obvious.
Yeah,
yeah. So
yeah.
Obvious. Oh, hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
Huh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure I knew that. I'm pretty sure you didn't.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Okay, welcome back to Women Patriots. We have a special guest, Ben Shapiro. If you have a question, give us a call at 718-305-7176. And Ben, there was actually a question in the chat room. Is how did you manage to keep your cool when you were talking to Piers Morgan?
Oh, that wasn't hard. I mean, Piers wasn't doing anything that I thought was really, you know, the fact is this, were some of the things that he was saying outrageous? Sure, but it's more important to be analytical in these debates than anything else. And he wasn't making any real arguments. I mean, he was trying to attack me personally, but I'm secure in who I am. I don't need his approval. So anger comes from a place of frustration. I was not frustrated with Piers. I think Piers was frustrated with me. but I knew what his line of attack was going to be. I know how his tactics work, and so I was happy to expose those. And I really feel that that's kind of our role as conservatives. The left doesn't have any arguments or evidence to back its positions for the most part. So that means that they rely on really one trick and one trick only, which is kind of personal attacks. You're a bad person. What you're saying is stupid. Do you even know what you're talking about? You know, that kind of stuff. Well, those are not arguments. Those are just kind of attempts to avoid argument. And so once you point that out to folks, once you point out that they're just engaged in sleight of hand, then they have no place left to go. And I think that was kind of the theme of that. That's the theme of that debate with Piers, was that he, you know, kept trying to go back to that same place, the same place where, you know, I'm stupid, I'm absurd, how dare I? And I'm sorry, those are not arguments, and I'm not going to get angry that you don't have an argument. In fact, I find it kind of amusing that you don't have an argument if you have a national television show.
Yeah.
we're reading the chat room. It's really funny because Teresa, who's one of our friends, was like, she wants to know when you're going to write that handbook for a conservative activist so that we can all keep our cool.
Well, actually, if she wants to, you know, if you want to check it out, you can go to Heritage Foundation. I did a speech at Heritage Foundation about a week and a half ago, and I laid out the 10 rules for debating a liberal. And so if you want to, and it was based largely on the Piers Morgan debate. And so if you want to go check that out, it's about an hour long. It's about 40 minutes of me explaining the 10 points and then about 15 minutes of questions. So you can go and check that out. It's at heritage.org. We also posted it at Breitbart.com. It's in our TV section, and you can see there kind of how I break down the best way to debate a liberal.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So hey, everybody make note of that.
I actually was watching that that interview or listening to it while I was at work, because I bring my laptop, and then when something comes on, I stick my earplugs in. But the one thing that I did hear in that interview was that you had to get your wife out of town because you were getting death threats.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. You know, now we put a security system in and everything, so I feel a little bit more secure, but certainly at the time, I was not a happy camper. I did move my wife into my parents' house for the duration of my trip, because people started tweeting my home address and calling my house, and it was a good time.
Yeah, that's what's kind of frightening, Ben, is that whenever a conservative stands out
for themselves,
they
right.
get death threats.
Well, absolutely. Everything that they do is based on intimidation. And if the left can't beat you, they'll try and intimidate you into silence. Well, you know, it takes, thank God I have a lot of friends who are cops. I've talked to a lot of them about, you know, home security and the best way to protect my house and protect my family. And it's just unfortunate that the people on the other side of the aisle are more intent on they'd rather do violence than do debate.
Yeah, and they talk about, you know, conservatives and the Tea Party, you know, and meanwhile, they never have anything from us.
Well,
the Tea Party is the
most polite protest movement in American history, the Tea Party, right? Occupy was presented as this kind of popular mass uprising that was doing good for the country, even as they pooped in parks and defaced public property and raped people. They were the good guys. The Tea Party, where we actually go out to parks and, like, sing patriotic songs and clean up after ourselves, were the bad guys. So that just goes to show you that the real bullies in all of this are the media.
Right. And actually, the other thing that I wanted to mention and get your opinion on is a lot of times people project what they're doing that somebody else is going to be doing it. So, say, if I'm cheating on my husband, I'm going to think my husband's cheating on me, and I'm going to accuse
mm-hmm.
him of it. Is that something that you feel that they're doing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, their entire philosophy is based on the idea that we're the actual bullies and they're the actual victims of bullying, when in truth, we're not the ones who are trying to shut down the debate. I can't remember any conservative ever having suggested that we ought to be boycotting or boycotting companies that do business with MSNBC. But they routinely do that to us. They're constantly trying to shut down our business. They're trying to Chick-fil-A us, right? I mean, this is what they do. So, of course they're the bullies. Of course they project. Projection is the easiest way for them to avoid responsibility for the fact that none of their policies actually work and the fact that they're not really nice people. I mean, the fact is that we can't be attacking them on policy alone. What is not nice about them is their tactics. They can, if they weren't engaged in some of the world's worst tactics, they'd be fine human beings. But once you engage in the tactic of calling people, you know, racist and sexist and bigoted and homophobe without any evidence, then that puts you in the category of nasty human being.
Right. Now, I was listening to C-SPAN today, and I was listening in on what they were doing over at the House and talking about the budget and all. And all they were doing was blaming each other. And I'm looking, no wonder why nothing's getting done. It's the Republicans' fault. It's the Democrats' fault. So we, the people, are losing out.
Well, I mean, I think that's true, but I think that it's more important that Republicans explain why exactly they don't, why they don't support the Obama budget, why it's the other side's fault. I'm sick of the finger pointing, and it's time to point out the reality of the situation, which the left does not want to pass a budget. They don't want to. They are perfectly happy living without a budget. They're happy to spend as much money as they could possibly want. And not
right.
only that, they're happy to make it look like we're the obstructionists when they're the ones who haven't passed a budget in years. So they're not serious about the problem. They never have been serious about the problem. And they try and throw that on us by saying that we're the obstructionists. What they do is they plant poison pills in budget bills that they know will never pass, just that they can turn around and blame us for not passing. Well, you know, as it turns out, if you pass a piece of legislation that's unbelievably stupid or present a piece of legislation that's unbelievably stupid and even your own party won't vote for it, why are you surprised when nobody actually votes for it? So, I don't mind congressional impasses. That's fine. That's sort of the way that Congress was designed to work. Gridlock, theoretically, is good for the United States because it prevents government from doing stupid things. All of that's fine. What I don't like is when the left starts saying the reason that we're holding up legislation is because we are tools of the rich and pawns of the corporations. All that's ridiculous and nasty and un-American.
Right, right. And
when we're with you on that one. So, Ben, we're trying now with our groups to get this message out that we as conservatives aren't these nasty people. And we're kind of fighting an uphill battle.
Well, no, see, here's the thing. We shouldn't be explaining to people that we're not nasty people, because we lose that game. I mean, if someone calls you a racist and you say, I'm not a racist and I'll tell you why, then they're just going to assume you're a racist anyway. What the
mm-hmm.
response to you're a racist should be is, no, you are a racist. You're a racist because you're watering down the term racism to apply to policies that you don't agree with without any evidence at all. And when you water down racism, what you're really doing is making room for real racism. We need to be on the offensive all the time. I mean, this is the movie Patton. This is not, you know, this is war. We have to stop acting like we're going to have a genteel discussion when they're calling us racist and all of a sudden we're on defense. That's not what we ought to be doing. We're not interested in holding our ground. We're interested in holding them by the nose and kicking them in the ass. I mean, that's really what this is supposed to be about. And if we're not doing that, we're going to be losing every step of the way.
Yeah, and I think it's difficult for some of us because I'm probably significantly older than you, and we were always taught, you know, respect, and you don't talk politics, and you don't talk religion, and that's kind of how we got where we are. And so it's kind of...
Well, right, exactly. I mean, they don't want us to talk politics or religion because when we talk those things, they lose. So they don't want us to talk about values. They don't want us to talk about who they are. They want to talk about who we are. If they can keep the conversation on how Mitt Romney is a guy who straps dogs to the top of his car, hates gay kids and cuts their hair forcibly, wants to put you all back in chains, has binders full of women because he hates women, is a tool of the rich, and likes to fire people specifically so their wives die of cancer, that means they don't have to talk about why the economy has sucked for the last 4 years. So what we ought to be doing is not saying, well, you know, Mitt Romney's actually a nice guy and you just should get to know him. What we should be saying is, you know how despicable you people are? You're willing to overlook 23 million unemployed Americans so you can talk about Mitt Romney's dog? Really? This is who you are? You are this type of really vile, disreputable human being. Look, if they continue to use those tactics, then we should be hitting back as hard as we can too, because these are nasty people. These are not good people. They are the enemy. They are trying to destroy the constitutional republic, and they are using personal attacks on us to do it. That's not something where we sit there and we say, oh, let's have a reasonable conversation. Extremism in the pursuit of liberty is no vice, and moderation in the defense of liberty is no virtue. So it's time for us to fight back as hard as humanly possible, because if we don't, we are going to lose.
Wow.
And, well, I was also taught, like, two wrongs don't make a right.
It's not wrong to punch a bully in the face. It's not wrong to punch a bully in the face. They're the bullies. They started it. We finish it. I was taught when I was a kid, don't ever start a fight. But if somebody starts a fight with you, don't come home unless they're the one on the ground.
Right. Well, that's my big thing with Benghazi. You know, they hit us, and, well, that's a whole other show. But it just totally disgusts me how they've praised Hillary, you know, and they've been talking about her accomplishments. Yeah, the only thing that I see that she accomplished was killing four Americans.
Well, forget that. I mean, what she accomplished was turning the entire Middle East into a Muslim Brotherhood hotbed. I mean, I'm getting real tired of these Republicans paying homage to people who destroy America's foreign policy because that's a nice thing to do in the Senate. Nice is not what defends the Constitution. Nice is never what has defended the Constitution. In this country, you know what we used to do with people we thought were anti-Constitution? We used to soak them in tar and then pour feathers on them. That's where the phrase tar and feather came from. Right? I mean, the politics in this country used to be a lot more rough and tumble than it is now. I mean, civility is a tool for people who are uncivil. We're not the ones
mm-hmm.
who ought to be. We're not the ones who ought to be worried about civility. They are, considering that they're the ones who are getting behind things like the Occupy movement, and they're the ones who are playing the race card and the class card and the sexism card. They're the ones who are uncivil, and it's ridiculous for us to sit here and worry about our own level of civility while they're knifing us in the back.
Right.
Wow, that's right. Laying it out there. That's really helpful.
Got on the phone.
Oh, that's Monica. So, yeah. Wait, we have another person coming in. But, yeah, that's really, really helpful to me, Ben, because, you know, I've just been taught to be nice.
Well, you can't be nice with people who are trying to hurt you. You know, there's an old Talmudic saying. I'm an Orthodox Jew. There's an old Talmudic saying, to be kind to the cruel is to be cruel to the kind. And we have been kind to the cruel for far too long.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thanks so much for having me.
And actually sharing that with us, because even that you've just taught me there helps me to understand what I need to be saying instead of trying to argue with these people, you know, on their level. So I think that's
something
we
all
should
do. Well, it's not on their level, you know, it's not about being on their level. It's about punching back. In the words of President Obama, punching back twice as hard.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
We're so glad.
I actually had one quick. Do you have another second? I had really one quick.
I actually have to run here because I have to monitor. Sean Hannity is going to be playing some excerpts of an interview that I did with Robert Zimmerman, George Zimmerman's brother, and so he's going to be playing that in short order. So
I'm on top of that. But thank you guys so much for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate it.
You
all. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Bye. Well, everybody, that was Ben Shapiro. And our next guest is going to be Monica Boyer, and we do have her on the phone. We'll be with you in just a minute, Monica. Barb, how did you want to go out? Do we have a copy of Bullies?
We do have a copy of Bullies to give away. How did you want to do that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Do you want to make it a certain caller?
Like, well, we could do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we could do that. You want to make it, let's see, the third caller will win a Ben Shapiro book, Ben Shapiro's newest book, Bullies.
Okay, so that number is 718-305-7176. The third person to call that phone number will win a copy of Bullies by Ben Shapiro. So you can start calling. And at this point, I'm going to bring on our next guest, and we're going to say hello real quick here. Hi, Monica. This is Brenda.
Hi there. It's good to be with you.
Oh, it's good to have you. We just had Ben Shapiro. That's who you were just listening to. And he was giving us some tips. And I'm sure you're going to have some more for us. For anybody who's listening, this is Monica Boyer. And she has written a book called Not on My Watch. And she is a local activist here in Indiana. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to talk with Monica.
For Talk Radio News Service, I'm Jeff Holtzman. In less than a month, the U.S. will be faced with the sequester, which could shrink federal budgets by over $1 trillion in the next decade. Lawmakers, however, have the power to turn off the sequester, and that's exactly what President Obama asked them to do today.
Deep, indiscriminate cuts to things like education and training, energy, and national security will cost us jobs. And it will slow down our recovery.
The president called on Congress to replace the automatic cuts with a balanced mix of spending cuts and revenue increases that would come from closing tax loopholes and tax breaks given to special interests. The hard part now for Obama will be convincing Republicans to cooperate, particularly after they already agreed to new revenues as part of the fiscal cliff deal in January. House Speaker John Boehner noted today that the original idea behind the sequester actually came from the White House. He said the only way he'd agree to replace it would be if Obama dropped his demand for more taxes. Jeff Holtzman, Talk Radio News Service, Washington.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
All right, everybody, you're back with Women Patriots. The number is 718-305-7176. Third caller will get a free Bullies book by Ben Shapiro. And now, Monica, why don't you first just kind of tell everybody a little bit about yourself so that we can understand that anyone can step outside of this box and make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm excited to be here tonight. I just stepped out of a training that we are doing for our local Tea Party group. We're training everybody on how to use social media, and it was so exciting to leave the room tonight and see these folks just getting ready to tweet and getting ready to be active. And that's my passion in life. My life changed about 7 years ago when I got involved in the political process when the government tried to take my business away from me by overregulation. And I went through a period of my life where I knew I had to do something. I didn't know what to do, but I knew that my business was suffering and I needed help. And so I started to watch the political process. And my life changed personally the day that I sat with my state rep and she told me that incest failed to pass the House by 2 votes. And as a huge pro-family activist that I was at the time, that's the day my life changed. I knew that I could not sit aside and watch my government turn into something I didn't recognize, and I wanted to become involved. And so it got me set on a path that I began to become active in the pro-family movement. For pro-family values, life issues, that kind of thing. And then 2008, we realized with the election of Barack Obama that there was no point in fighting for pro-life values if we didn't have a constitution. And I realized that I had to take a step out and my life turned in a different direction for a little bit, and that was leading a Tea Party movement, and led to many, many things, many life changes for us, for my husband and my four children. It brought us down paths that we were very surprised to be on. You know, in the removal of Senator Richard Lugar, we led that fight and won. And it has just, it's changed our whole family, our whole life. And so I've just become passionate about empowering women, especially. I wrote a book called I'm Not on My Watch. And my goal in that was to empower women to know that even though they're moms and they might be at home changing diapers, they can literally change the world from where they are. And I've seen the results of that book. I've had a lot of testimonies of women and moms who said, hey, if you can do it with raising four kids, why am I sitting at home feeling sorry for myself? And I've also had men say, hey, I'm going to run for office. If you can do it, I'm there with you. So it's been exciting to see lives changed and people realizing that they can make a difference.
And you're more focused on the local level, your groups?
Well, we just came out of the Senate race, so that was a national race where we retired Richard Lugar, and mm-hmm. We have changed a little bit of our focus here after the election of November 6th. To really look at the state policies, and really we saw the need to protect our borders from the federal government. So our group is really focused right now on some state issues and as well as our county issues. So.
Okay, and I noticed there, I've kind of lost my thought, but there was a site that you had pasted for Indiana for legislation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We just launched a new site called Kitchen Table Activism. And what we wanted to do with that site is help people, give them step-by-step instructions and tips on how to contact their lawmakers on specific legislation. So today I posted our governor's tax cut plan. And basically I give a little synopsis of what the policy is. Tell them who to call, put the number there, and tell them, we support this bill. We just step-by-step, easy ABC instructions on how to get involved. And we've had today, I was given a couple of emails that, hey, I made my first phone call to my lawmaker, and it's empowering. And so we are focusing on a lot of local policies or state policies. And we post them on that page on Kitchen Table Activism. And you don't even have to get out of your pajamas. We wanted to make it so easy and so attainable that people, think, I don't even have to get dressed. I can do this from my table. And we got we had several people call us last week and told us that their senator had called them back. They had called their senator every day on an issue, and they got a call on Friday from their senator saying, thank you for doing your job. Thank you for caring enough about Indiana to call us. And so it's been exciting to see what has happened when people, act, and it encourages people.
Absolutely. And it is something just as simple as the phone call.
Yeah.
Just letting them know how you feel. Well, how do you feel about this Karl Rove? I know I was actually somewhat involved with the Murdoch campaign, but with Karl Rove and his little cronies coming out trying to say they're going to, pick the candidates for us. Sorry.
I would say they don't know who they're dealing with. From what I see here on the ground, it's going to backfire. They're going to see what happens when grassroots, and we've seen firsthand here in Indiana what happens when grassroots gets together. I guess to me, it just, he's blowing smoke. He does not see the reality of what's on the ground, what we see every day with people who are scared that they're losing their country. We are the majority And, you know, right now, I always laugh when the media says that the Tea Party's dead and conservatives are dead, because when they do that, it takes the focus and the limelight off of what we're doing so we can get our job done. We can work behind the scenes. It frees us up to do what we need to do. So I say let them talk, because, you know, to me it's just a smokescreen.
Well, and it's good to hear that, because my actual initial rant at the opening of the show was in regards to the establishment and how they were underestimating the grassroots people on the ground that can overcome any money lead there might be, you know, just with the boots on the ground. So
yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
Since the election, our numbers have tripled. I don't know where you are in Indiana right now, but it's snowing. I mean, you can't even see. It's unbelievable snow tonight. And I was thinking, okay, well, there's just a couple people coming out. That room is packed in there with people saying, teach me how to do this. I'm ready to do it. So our numbers have tripled since November 6th.
Oh, that's awesome.
Awesome.
Now, you're actually up in the northern part of the state. I'm actually in Fort Wayne.
Okay, all right.
In Allen County, which, as you know, is a highly Republican area, so we're pretty conservative here. But that is really great to hear coming out of the northern part of the state of Indiana, for those of you who don't know, tends to be, because it's got Gary up there toward Illinois, tends to be more of a liberal area. Mm-hmm. So that is really encouraging.
The other thing that's happening, too, is the Tea Party groups are uniting. We've just formed what's called the Northern Indiana Conservative Coalition, and we have united forces and with groups from Fort Wayne and DeKalb and all over the northern part of the state, all the way to Peru. And we, as leaders, meet together. We're going to be meeting together here at the end of February to really put our resources together and to unite as groups and encourage each other. They've done that in the central part of the state. They've got a coalition in the middle where they're working on policy right now. And when you put your brains together and just, you know, being there for each other, it really empowers you to push policy, to keep going, to keep running the race. And so we're excited about what's happening here in northern Indiana.
Well, yeah, that's really neat, and I like seeing it. You know, I'm watching it on Facebook. Obviously, Barb and I do this show, and we've been doing this. Well, I've been doing this show since in the primaries, but Barbara's been with me now here for about a month or so, and you know, trying just to get our message out and let people know that there's other people like them out there.
Right.
You know, because
we have a caller if we want to bring Scott in.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
You got him?
Oh. Hello, Scott.
You're
hey.
Here.
I'm here. Hey, doing a great show. You both are. You know, you're covering two of the big, huge problems we've got. You know, Ben really covered it. They're painting who we are with a big white brush of we're just mean because we're conservative. But we've got the other side, man. The state's rights is the only thing we've got to fight against the federal government. And both of you, you know, both guests working really real hard on both of those issues. You know, you guys started talking about our show last night with Frederick Douglass, and I was glad Michael came in, because this is where our fight is. We found out last year that no matter how much effort we put into a candidate that we really liked because he was conservative, then we're behind the eight ball when it comes to winning the actual election. And it doesn't matter if we've got a great candidate who is going to be wonderful in Washington, D.C., if we can't get him there in the first place. And so thanks. I just wanted to chime in and say great show. We'll pass this information. Great work that Ben's doing. You know, been following him a long time. And he's doing the work out in the activists. He's doing the work out in the grassroots. And just no questions, really, but just chime in and saying great job.
Well
thanks,
thank you.
Scott.
Thank you, Scott, for calling in, and thank you for saying that. And we are still looking for caller number 3 at 1-718-305-7176 for that book, Bullies, by Ben Shapiro. So give us a call.
Scott was caller 2.
Okay. And We'll be right back with Monica Boyer. If anybody has any questions that they might want to ask her, if you're working on a state level, anything at all, give us a call, 718-305-7176.
Foreclosure is hard on every member of the family, but your family is not alone. If you're struggling with your mortgage, there is help. To learn about the government's Making Home Affordable program, visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE to speak to a HUD-approved housing counselor. It's free of charge. Visit makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE today. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury HUD Neighborhood.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Okay, and you are back with Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org, and we are currently talking with Monica Boyer, an activist from Indiana. I hope you don't mind if I call you an activist, because that's kind of how I view you. It's like,
yes.
I am.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just like you had the guts, and in even with children, which anybody knows, you know, having one child, let alone four, is almost a full-time job to do what you do. It's amazing.
It does make my job a little bit easier. They're all involved in what I do, and they carry a lot of the burden. I'm so proud of them. They've taken it back to their schools, and they've got some stories to tell. We were just discussing with my middle child the day I lost him in Washington.
Oh,
it okay. was a little embarrassed.
Like, okay.
They'll have
yeah,
stories
that's
to
awesome.
Tell.
That's awesome. I actually wanted to mention, too, that I'm in a new district. So I just wrote to my new House representative, who's a Democrat. So just for giggles, I wrote him a letter to kind of introduce myself and ask him how he felt about the Constitution. So, you know, he gives me this little letter back with typos. So I had to email him back and say, tell your secretaries to check their work. But he wrote back to me and he said, I support the Constitution. However, I realize that reasonable people can often disagree on the exact meaning and intent of the document our forefathers gave us. If you have specific concerns or questions about my stance on various legislation issues, I encourage you to write back. So I actually did write him back and said, it's really not complicated. If you look at the Federalist Papers, that they will go ahead and explain what's there for you. And I personally thought it was funny, but I did not get a reply yet.
Well, that's sad.
On that level, I have actually been signing a lot of these online petitions and different things, and I have gotten like 6 letters from Marlon Stutzman, and they have been very lengthy, wordy letters, and they have been very detailed in where he stands, and also from Dan Coates. So I think here, Monica, in Indiana, we're a little luckier than some other states in that we have some true conservative leaders for us. We did get rid of Lugar, which was a good thing. Unfortunately, we didn't get him replaced with the man we would have preferred, but
yeah.
We did make that start.
But
so
I think, too, you know, a lot of people ask if we lost in Indiana, and I'm telling you, I don't think we did. I think we're better off. In fact, I went to the Governor Pence's inauguration, and I ran into Senator Donnelly. And I introduced myself. It was priceless when I introduced, when I told him who I was. It was priceless. I wish I could have recorded it. But he didn't try to get away from me at all. He stood there. He talked to me. I looked him in the eye, and I said, honestly, Senator, I believe we're better off today than we were last year at this time. And I said, I'm looking forward to working with you. And so I'm taking a different tactic with Senator Donnelly. There's a couple of votes.
you know, that he is with us on, gun control, Second Amendment, for example. So far, he's with us. And so I have set the bar really low. And when he does something good, I am publicly posting on his Facebook page. Thank you. I did so this morning. Thank you very much for your stand for the Second Amendment. And I'm hoping to push him to the right. If I can get five good votes for him, that's more than I've gotten from Senator Lugar. And so I'm taking a different tactic with him. And I'm also, when I post on his Facebook page those thank yous and those please vote for the Second Amendment, whatever I would say to him, I always take a snapshot of what I write and I post it on my Facebook page so that everybody can see. We're pushing them to the right. So I'm trying it. I don't know, you know. There'll be votes that I don't agree with when I'm sure of it, and he'll hear from me, but I set the bar pretty low. So we're going to try to push him to the right. So I don't believe that we lost. I believe that we retired Senator Lugar, and I believe that bought us a couple of years of conservative votes because now people are thinking twice that, hey, we removed a pretty powerful senator. Maybe I better watch my voting record. So that's kind of how I feel about the loss. It was bad to, you know, we'd obviously rather have Richard Murdoch in the Senate right now. But
yeah, he would have been a great addition alongside Senator Cruz from Texas, I tell you.
He would have been excellent there.
But but yeah, and I think, you know, this is the way Reagan actually said back in the 60s, call your senator. If you don't get the response you want, call him again. And you keep calling him because, you know, this is Indiana and it is a fairly conservative state. And I think your tactic may be the right one to take with Senator Donnelly, because just to let him know that we are watching and we are listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
We
want to bring Steve.
What's that?
That he's going to be cheered for when he does vote the right way. You know, if we cheer really loud when he votes, hopefully, you know, he'll move to the right.
Yeah, we can hope. Hope he doesn't get caught up in that Washington culture. We do have another caller. Steven, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, ladies. Wonderful show, wonderful guest tonight. I did want to comment
you.
A little bit. It's not a secret that I've lost my faith in the Republican Party over the last year and a half going through the primaries and, of course, with the election and stuff like that. And I have been asking that question time and time again on what we have to do to change the Republican Party. And not one person has ever been able to give me basically an answer that I can believe in, or an answer that I could live with, basically, and agree upon. And I know that, you know, talking with, you know, you just had Scott on and Michael and they know my frustrations and stuff like that. But last night, actually, as I was traveling, listening to the show, and Kate Carl Smith on, actually rejuvenated my faith in the Republican Party and what we need to do. And I thought it was an absolutely he was a wonderful speaker and had me totally engaged in listening. And I believe in everything that he had to say last night. And I just have to say that thank you to K. Carl Smith. Thank you to Michael B. for taking over my spot on the show. But and for Scott Osborne for getting a guest like that, because it was absolutely fantastic and absolutely started restoring my faith once again in what we need to do to move forward. And listening to your guest tonight gets me pretty fired up and seeing what's going on. And I just wanted to comment on it, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for calling in. And Barbara, is this our winner?
This Stephen's our winner.
Stephen, you will be getting a copy of Bullies, and I think Barbara probably told you to drop her a line with your address. And we'll get that out to you. So thank you very much for calling in.
I shall.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And Monica, if you probably didn't hear, they had a guest on that saying that because we've been defined by the media and by the left, that we should now refer to ourselves as Frederick Douglass Republicans. And that what we stand for is limited government, life, and there were two other principles. So a way of to redefine ourselves so that they're not defining who we are.
That's an excellent point. Very good point. And I think to his comment on losing faith in the Republican Party, I've been a lifelong Republican and turned into an angry Republican. And now I guess I feel like in watching what happened with Senator Lugar and seeing the political ripple that went across the pond on that one, I think probably what will have to happen they keep telling us we have to change our message. We have to change what we're doing, and I don't believe we have to. I believe that we need to make a point with the Republican Party, and that it might take us a couple of cycles where we lose the race to finally make them see that we are serious about conservative values, and that we're serious. And yes, we might have lost the general, but we sure shook up the political world taking Senator Lugar out. It might take a couple of cycles for them to say or to see that we're not compromising. I won't compromise on those values. They keep saying we need to change our language. I don't know how many times I've heard that. We need to soften our tone. We need to change our language. We need to change our focus on immigration, on abortion, those divisive issues. No, I'm not changing that. If it takes a couple of cycles that we lose the race, then that's what it'll take. But I think eventually we will clean out the Republican Party, and we will take it back. But I'm not giving up now. You know, I'm going to stand for what I believe, and I'm not compromising. So I think we'll get it back. Will it be next election cycle? Probably not, but I think we will get it back eventually if we stand together and say we're not moving.
Absolutely. And I have right. a problem when people start wanting to jump quickly to a third party when we have this movement within the Republican Party already going. Because despite what they say, like you said, the Tea Party's not dead. Mm-hmm. They're just not out there in these big groups like it marched on Washington that one year. But they're still the grassroots conservatives that want limited government we're still out there and we're working every day.
We're taking over right. precincts. I mean, here in Kosciuszko County, we have taken the precincts now. If you take it from the bottom up, eventually it's going to affect the top. We just have to give it some time. We have to give it, a little more patience because eventually it will get to the top. But we are working in the precinct level, working in the county level, taking over a school board. That's the thing that the media misses a lot. And I think one day they're going to wake up and say, oh, what happened?
Kind of like we did that one day, wake up and say, whoa, what's happening to my country?
Exactly.
Yeah. So the sneak attack underneath.
That's
so.
Right.
Well, Monica, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing your story and everything that you're doing out there for our country and our state and for all Americans. I tell you, it's inspiring, and it helps. I think it helps everybody when they see that and they see that story and they know that they can also make a difference. So I do want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. And stay committed. Don't give up. There's a lot of times where I feel like we got to give up, and I look at my children and I say, I can't.
Yes.
They're not taking it on my watch. I'm going to fight until the end. So
yes.
Keep it up. Keep up
I have
doing.
Grandchildren, so that's, you know, that's me. It's like, you know,
yeah.
It's not about me.
No.
This, none of this I do is about me, but it's about the future and wanting our children and grandchildren to enjoy the same freedoms that we have actually enjoyed throughout our lives. So, again, I want to thank you for what you're doing, and I know you're in the middle of all this meeting stuff, so we're going to let you go. But thank you very much for calling in and sharing with us tonight.
Thanks for having me. Have a great evening.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The leftist media would like conservatives like us to think we're just a few lonely voices in the wilderness. And I think we can even add the establishment Republicans to that. But don't be fooled. Americans that identify themselves as conservatives outnumber liberals by 2-1, according to numerous polls, even by liberals. If you respect traditional American values, there's a place for you to call home on the Internet. It's traditionalamericanmovement.com or TradAm, as we call our home. Traditionalamericanmovement.com is the place where real conservatives meet up without turf wars and find out what's new in the conservative community. Join up, find out what's happening, and be a part of the conservative revolution, all on traditionalamericanmovement.com. That's traditionalamericanmovement.com. We hope to see you there soon. A liberal free site.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden...
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
Don't wait. Call 911 immediately.
Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Women Patriots on conservativenationradio.org. And the number to call is 718-305-7176. We've had two great guests tonight, Barb.
Oh, I know. Join is jumping.
I know.
And we have a culprit that keeps getting disconnected. So let me try again.
Okay. All right, just bring them live and see if we can bring them on.
Okay. Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Hello, who's this?
Oh, is this Barbara?
Yes.
It's Karen.
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen.
Hi. Hi, Brenda. How are you?
I'm good. This is Karen Sitzman, everybody. Another great activist out there in this country. We're not laying down. We're not taking it laying down.
That's right. Rage against the media.
Right.
Rage against the media. Yes.
Absolutely. And I'm calling a little ahead of time because Monica was completely inspiring. It was so heartening. So many people have given up, and it's really absolutely wonderful to hear someone so optimistic and forward-looking and completely still engaged. It's great. I mean, you guys obviously too. But she was terrific. Very inspiring.
Yeah, she inspires me. I'm in Indiana with her, and she is very, very active. And there's stuff on Facebook and Twitter, and the legislation she'll post, and all you've got to do is call. You know, they'll give you the numbers and everything, and it's really, really is inspiring, and to have those people out there. So,
and that's really what we have to do. And you know, one thing that I wanted to say to her earlier that I had to go get my book with Frederick Douglass.
Mm-hmm.
Movement, the questions, the respect for the Constitution, respect for life, belief in individual responsibility, and belief in limited government. And that's the questions that we have to ask our opponents to get unlabeled as a racist. So for me, that they were talking about... Monica was talking about different wording.
Right.
And that is definitely something that was giving me hope, too, when I heard that last night. So when you're on your protest there in what is that, next week already?
Next week, exactly. But, you know, it is kind of interesting because, to me, Republican, that's what we should be without having to qualify it, you know. So I might have a little bit different take. I don't want to say I'm a certain kind of Republican. I think being a Republican should mean all those things that you just said. And if you qualify it in a certain way, that might give the impression that there are other kinds of Republicans who feel differently. So I think we just need to get our message together, you know. That's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And the media already has us labeled as racists.
Right. And which is, you know, Ben Shapiro's answer to that was so completely dead on. No, you're a racist for diluting the word racist. To me, that absolutely says it all. We don't have to argue back. We don't have to defend ourselves. And Yeah, listening to him was, you know, what a great show you have today.
Wasn't that inspiring? I mean, some of the stuff he said was like, wow, it's just making things click in my brain. Because, you know, I think we're of a generation where we weren't kind of taught to speak back like that. But we're at a point where we have to.
We do.
Right.
To really get our message out there.
We do.
And
exactly.
So it does
bring us to the media, doesn't it?
Yes, it does, Karen, because we are fighting this big, you know, billion-dollar complex that's broadcast into all these millions of homes. And
right.
So tell us what's going on with Rage Against the Media here.
Well, we have so much going on right now. It's really, it's an amazing time. It's really an extraordinary time. And like Monica said, you know, in a way, things are looking more up than they might be if the election had a different outcome. I'm feeling tremendously energized. People are waking up more and more and more to everything, specifically to the media bias. And there's just we have a ton of things going on. Most specifically, on next Monday, our favorite Democrat is coming to Los Angeles, Al Gore, who just sold his television channel to Al Jazeera.
Over Glenn Beck.
Right?
Yeah.
Al Gore, who hates fossil fuels and everything to do with that, would rather take money from a country whose entire economy is based on fossil fuels than from Glenn Beck. And words he used were things like, because Al Jazeera speaks truth to power, which I find just absolutely hilarious. This is such
right.
a preposterous contention that this incredibly powerful multi-gazillion dollar media enterprise, it's global and funded by one of the richest nations on earth, that, and again, they get their money from fossil fuels, that they are the ones speaking truth to power. I find this completely, how anybody can say that with a straight face. So we will be greeting him when he comes to give his talk in Beverly Hills. He'll be at the Saban Theater on Wilshire Boulevard next Monday evening at 7. We will be convening around 6. And I'm so excited about the signs that people will have. I'm imagining people wearing costumes. I think it's going to be just too funny. We have some great, great signs going up already. This is going to be more fun than anybody thinks conservatives ever have. He's our favorite Democrat. You know, we love to hate him. Rage Against the Media is sponsoring this because of Al Jazeera, but we all have 1,000 reasons why he's problematic to us. Global warming, you know, climate change, whatever is what it's called, you know, on any given day.
That's because it's not warming anymore, so they have to call
right.
it climate change because
right.
there's been no
right.
going
and
on.
Now they've even morphed it to extreme weather, which is also just completely preposterous. So I think this is going to be a tremendous event. I am very, very excited about it. We've talked to the Beverly Hills Police. It's all great.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the following Saturday, we're continuing our mainstream media protest series. We had one in October against CBS. This one will be at CNN, another one of our favorites, on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. That'll be on Saturday at noon, our usual protest time, high noon. So that should be fabulous. So we're hoping to get momentum up. Everyone's angry. Nobody's sure how to focus their anger. And so we're trying to find good ways of doing that. And these are two, certainly. I mean, Al Gore, right? Just imagine.
I know, right? Now, if I remember correctly, I'm pretty sure you had said you had a friend in the media.
Yes, I do.
Now, are they going to have somebody there when you greet Mr. Gore?
You mean my friend who's in the media but on the other side?
Well, just to let them know that this is what's going to be happening? Will you have cameras there?
Yeah. Oh, she knows. I have a feeling this one may stir up all kinds of interesting things. He's become such a, oh gosh, I shouldn't use these words, but a big target, if you don't mind my saying so.
Now go right ahead. We'd like to take some pot shots at that target.
Right. And even John Stewart has been going after him. David Letterman has been going after him. People who have always been 100% in his camp are tiptoeing around the word and even using the word hypocrisy about mm-hmm. the sale. And so I have been advertising these events all over the place. So I think this will actually, the Al Gore one will actually be pretty huge. I think there will be a lot of people on our side. And I think there's going to be a lot of people on the other side, too, who are a little bit bemused by what we're doing. This is Los Angeles. This is Beverly Hills. This is not a hotbed of conservatism, you know?
So, I was going to say, for you to be doing this ought to inspire everybody across the country. Because you to do this in Los Angeles, California, I mean, that takes not only courage and guts, but fortitude, and, you know, everybody ought to know that if Karen and her group can do this in Los Angeles, we can do this anywhere.
That's right. Now, I also, absolutely. With one of those interviews, I don't even remember who it was with, but he just downright, Gore said he knew what everybody was saying, and he just doesn't feel that way.
Yep.
That's the type of hypocrisy that he's got. And back when, you know, all this global warming and he invented the internet and all this stuff with his big mouth going. he was the one that had the most lights in his house, taking his jet all over the place, telling me not to do that because he's doing it. You know, don't tell me that I was raised like that. Do as I say, not as I do. And I will not accept that from anyone.
Right, but this is classic liberal Democrat behavior. Anything goes in pursuit of an agenda. That's all. It's the agenda.
Yeah.
It counts, and nothing else matters. Not the truth, not what he himself does, not trying to be consistent, not trying to even do good for the planet, not trying to actually speak truth to power, right? I mean, there are ways of speaking truth to power, and selling out to Al Jazeera is not the way. So everything falls by the wayside in pursuit of his own agenda, and it's really extraordinary. And that he's, John Stewart, and yes, David Letterman, and a few are starting to point this out, but far more, I would think, still are completely accepting of whatever he does, as they are with Hillary Clinton. I mean, you guys, I know how you feel about Benghazi, right? Nothing, the truth doesn't matter. It's about protecting your agenda, which, as Ben Shapiro had said, is spreading the Muslim Brotherhood through the Middle East. And nothing else matters.
Right.
It's all part and parcel of the same thinking. Sorry?
Right. It's unfortunate that that's happening here in America and that there are so many people who have no idea.
Right, right. And that's also part, that's one of the biggest fears about Al Jazeera, is their coverage of these kinds of things internationally and then, of course, here. Will be very pro that particular agenda. We've been looking at their coverage of what happened during the, quote, Arab Spring. And it's all joyous jubilation, you know, wonderful democracy, blah, blah, blah. Nothing about what's going on in Syria, nothing that's going on in Egypt, nothing about various rapes, nothing about the actual reality of the turmoil in the Middle East. So they, too, are in pursuit of their own particular agenda, and that's what they will do here. That's horrendous.
And they're too busy
they're too busy bickering back and forth of whose fault it is. Up, you know, it's the Republicans. No, it's the Democrats. and here we are, the ones getting through.
Yeah, I watched some of those C-SPAN things you were talking about earlier, Barbara, and they're like little children. And instead of trying to communicate with each other, they're too busy saying, well, you did this and I did this. And that's not the issue. The issue is we have this huge debt. And we have this huge spending problem. And we, the people, want you to fix it. And that's the problem. You know, this great divide. And instead of wanting to talk like adults, they want to fight like children in Congress.
And I'm ready to go up there and just say, hey, look, here's the deal. Like I treated my children when they were little. Put them together and say, okay, I don't care whose fault it is. Let's find a situation.
We'll all go, we'll stand up and say, you guys are acting like children.
It's exactly right, isn't it? I mean, it's so true. It's so true. I don't know what the answer to all that is.
We can only do one thing at a time.
If we keep doing what we're doing, going ahead, and just actually plowing ahead.
Right, and we are speaking truth to power, actually, aren't we? We are the ones doing exactly that. So in every, you certainly are doing that. Rage is trying to do that as well. Monica is doing that. Ben Shapiro is a master.
Oh, yeah, and we have Emery McQuendon, who we had on several weeks back, local Tea Party activist. We have so many people across the nation that are doing this. And there's only one way this can come out, if we all continue to do this, and that's in a positive way.
Right.
And so even though we might be doing it in different ways, we know these people are out there doing it, and we just got to – we can't give in like Stephen was, you know, feeling down and depressed earlier. We got to stay on top of this game and keep pushing forward and pushing back.
Absolutely.
So, and what you're doing out in California is all inspiring. So we
thank
hope
you.
That you will drop by afterwards and tell us how that turns out. And
I would love
that worked out
I would
for
love
you.
Because
you know,
thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Thanks for chiming in, Karen. You're always welcome, huh? Great talking to you.
All right. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye. ConservativeNationRadio.org is proud to welcome former U.S. Navy SEAL Carl Higbee to Sound of Freedom with Hig and Resch, Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Carl is the well-known author of Battle on the Home Front and an outspoken critic of the Obama administration. I guess nobody told these guys in the White House not to mess with the Navy SEALs. Carl Higbee is a real patriot who talked the talk and walked the walk. So listen to Sound of Freedom with Carl Higbee and former Navy JAG attorney Guy Reschenthaler, Thursdays at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on ConservativeNationRadio.org. Real conservatism for real conservatives. Let's assume that if you're listening to ConservativeNationRadio.org, you're a conservative. You love America and our Constitution just like we do. And since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from books to bumper stickers and patriotic T-shirts to flags. And your pipeline to that good stuff is right here at ConservativeNationRadio.org. Just go to our website, ConservativeNationRadio.org, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative revolution needs. Wave your flag and proudly display your love for America and the conservative revolution starting right now. Just go to ConservativeNationRadio.org, click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution. Real conservatism for real conservatives. And you're listening to Women Patriots on ConservativeNationRadio.org. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. And well, Barb, that was quite the interesting show.
Yeah, certainly was.
I found I have some pointers to take from this now and try to – I'm going to have to rethink myself because, you know, I'm not used to coming back at people, you know, like that. You know, I usually want to say, well, I'm not a racist. You know,
right.
It's like, I'm not, really. But I'm going to have to get my mind geared into this, what Ben Shapiro was telling us, and get into the habit of coming back at it. No, you're the one that's a racist, and you're diluting the word. And they are. Oh, my God. They scream racism for everything. What did John McCain say the other day? Something, he was making a joke. Who was he making a joke about? I don't remember. He's a racist. It's like, how is he a racist? That wasn't even, you know.
I don't know.
You know,
there's so much that goes on in my head and so much that goes on in the day that that's where I have to write everything down. I really
and then
do.
You get all these, then you have all these little scraps of paper.
I actually have a notebook, Brenda.
Oh, well, there
you
go. Yeah, okay.
I might have to turn pages, but I have my notebook.
I must confess I have sticky notes. It's not always real helpful when you're looking for stuff. But yeah, we want to thank everybody who's been listening in here to Women Patriots. I don't know if we got Scott on hold. Hey, Scott's been on hold. Hey, Scott, did you have anything else you wanted to add here to the show? Scott, are you with us?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was in the house just listening away, and I can't quite undo all that excitement. You know, this is what's in my heart right now. You know, I really appreciate what my good friend Stephen Williams said a while ago. Because we really did this last year. This last November left a bunch of us feeling a whole lot worse than Herman Cain did one Saturday a couple of years.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
We have not lost this battle, and we're going to win this battle. But we've got to change our modus operandi. We've got to get back to telling people why we believe what we believe. It's not just about standing on a set of issues. It's why we believe what we believe, because the American people aren't getting it. Ben Shapiro started out right, man. They are painting us with everything they can. They can't debate. Socrates said that when the debate is lost, slander becomes the tool of the user. That's the only tool they're using. So we know, they admit, they can't debate this. But we
Obama
as grass-
even said that.
What's that?
Obama even said that.
Exactly.
Back in 2008.
Exactly. And, you know, they've got everything. They've got the mainstream media. They've got Hollywood. They've got every form of ability to get to a bunch of people, and we've got to figure out how to get to those people and explain to them, like Kay Carl said last night, we're just normal people. We put our pants on right and left just like everybody else is, and here's why I'm a Republican. I'm not going to sit in debate anymore with people on all kinds of fringe stuff. I'm going to take them right back to, I'm a Republican because. You know, it's really simple for me with Frederick Douglass, because I am a Republican because I believe that big government messes everything up and smaller local government still messes things up, but it's a whole lot easier for the people to control. That's why I'm a conservative. I believe in the basics. And we're going to get back to that. And you guys are doing a great job. That was a great call-in drive-by from Karen Sigmund. She had a lot of great things to say. And I got to go back, and I'm in the middle of dealing with family right now. Everybody got home at the same time. But I want to say one more time, great show. Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you, Scott.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for calling
in.
Okay. And I don't know. We got Michael. Shall we try to see if he's – hey, Michael.
I'm here, ladies. You know what? I'm kind of glad you brought me in. I've been sitting here. I just friended Karen. I got to tell you. Okay, I'm celebrating. I'm having me a beer from Belgium. I'm celebrating. You ladies, you had Ben Shapiro. You had Monica
Foyer.
The last name Foyer.
Yeah.
And then you had a drive by from a former from 2 weeks ago, Karen Sigmund, Rage Against the Media, did a drive by on you. I couldn't be prouder. I friended her. I sent her a message. Her and I are chatting now. I could not be more proud. I want to thank you, ladies, from the bottom of my heart. You're rocking and rolling. Pardon me. I know Duke's going to put me down in Huntsville for this, but you're kicking ass. You're kicking ass, and I'm loving it.
Oh, thank you.
Well, thank you, Michael.
Name
for that.
Later.
We're glad to brought you live just for that. So
I always knew that Women Patriots was a great concept. I knew it, Barbara or Brenda, from the day that you started with Lady Caniacs, and then Herman suspended, and you transformed it. You've cradled it like a baby. You brought Barbara on, and there's been, and you know, it's just so many things, guys. I just want to brag about my team for just a minute, and then park me and let me just enjoy and relish in this moment. We've got a great general manager, Tressa Brusky. We've got a great program director, Duke. We went through some hard growing pains at the worst time of the year during the holidays. And we pulled it out. And this is proof right here. Women Patriots. I've always believed in this show. I knew this show, Women Patriots, could be a marquee show on CNR. And it's proven to be so. It's top-notch concern. I've gotten comments from all kinds of people, including John LaRosa, who has said Conservative Nation Radio brings top-notch conservatives to the airwaves for grassroots activists. I couldn't be prouder, and I love you both, ladies.
Well, thank you, Michael. We love you, too.
So thank you for that. And we are getting down into the last minutes of the show, so I want to remind everybody, next week, actually, I'm pretty excited about next week. We have a young activist, actually a college student from Louisiana, who is she was doing some research for a paper about Israel, and she has become an ally of Israel, and she does pro-Israeli events trying to educate people, because as we all know, there's generations of people being indoctrinated against the state of Israel. So she's going to be joining us next week along with
Whitney Neal
from Concerned Women
from
of America.
She's from Freedom Works.
I'm sorry, wrong one. We've got some great guests coming up in the next couple of weeks.
Michelle
Smith is coming up the week after, and she's with Concerned Women of America. So we got some great guests coming up, some great activists coming up to share with people what's going on and what they're doing to help try to educate people in this country. Whitney actually wrote an article that was carried by Fox News about school choice. And so that's going to be an exciting show next week. So we want to make sure that you tune in for that. Tomorrow night here on Conservative Nation Radio is our own Warrior Catholic show with Chris Ricketts. Be sure and tune in for that at 6 Central, 7 Eastern. And anything to say, Barb, before we take it out with some music?
No, actually, great show. I'm a little overwhelmed at, I think, how well it went. So, hey, we rock.
We rock.
Women rock.
And thank you, Michael. Thank you, Michael, for the opportunity.
You're talking to the brains and the beauty of Conservative Nation Radio. That's us, both of us together. So, hey, everybody, thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in next week.